Thank you, Bruno. So first, let me thank the organizers. It's my great pleasure to be here, so thank you for the invitation. As Tuma said, I will talk about cubic calligraphs and snarks, and the outline of the talk is the following. At first, we will recall what a snark is. Then in the second part, we will look the independent sets, in particular cubic graphs, which will be needed in the third part, where we will show that there are no snarks amongst the particular class of cubic calligraphs, the so-called 2S3 calligraphs. And then the last part of the talk, it will be about how the results from the third part could be generalized to prove non-existence of a snarks in a wider class of calligraphs. So, snarks for the beginning. By using theorem, we know that the edges of a graph with a maximal degree delta can be colored with either delta colors or delta plus one colors. So in the case of cubic graphs, the edges can be colored either with three colors or with four colors, and a snark is a cubic graph whose edges can be colored with four colors, but not with three, and there is extra condition that this graph is connected and bridgeless, because if we allow bridges, then it's easy to construct graphs, cubic graphs with chromatic index equal to four, so that we need four colors to color the edges. And during this talk, a non-snark will mean bridgeless cubic three-edge colorable graph. Okay, an example of a snark is the Peterson graph. So how to show that the Peterson graph is a snark? We can think in the following way. If we have a cubic graph which is three-edge colorable, then any two colors induce gives you a two-factor consisting of cycles of even length. And if we look at the Peterson graph, and we know that the Peterson graph is not Hamiltonian, so we don't have a 10 cycle, then the another option for a two-factor would be a union of a 6 cycle and a 4 cycle, but in the Peterson graph there is no 4 cycle, the girth is 4, it's 5. And so actually the only, every two factor in the Peterson graph is a union of 2 5 cycles. So it's not a snark. Maybe I am speaking too loud. Okay. Here are another two snarks, Blanusha snarks, discovered in 1946. Before these two snarks were discovered, the Peterson graph was the only known snark. And going to calligraphs, Brian Olsbach, Liu, and Frank in 1996 posed the following question: are there snarks amongst calligraphs? This problem is still open. There are two nice results, one obtained by Nedela and Scoviera in 2001, and the other one obtained by Primož Potočnik in 2004. So the Nedela-Scoviera result says that if there is a snark among calligraphs, then there is a Cayley snark on a group G with respect to the generating set consisting of an involution, a non-involution of odd order, and this. Then we also have the inverse of a non-involution, such that this group is either non-abelian simple, or the group G has unique non-trivial proper normal subgroup H, which is either simple and non-abelian or a direct product of two isomorphic non-abelian simple groups, and the subgroup H is of index 2. So meaning that if there is a Cayley snark, then the group on which we have a Cayley graph is almost simple, but not in the definition of a normal simple, but close to being simple. And Primož Potočnik, he considered vertex transitive graphs, so a wider class of cubic graphs, and he proved that the Petersen graph is the only vertex transitive snark containing a soluble transitive subgroup in the automorphism grid. Okay. Actually, the snark problem is just a special case or a weaker conjecture to the Hamiltonicity conjecture. So, a well-known conjecture says that every connected Cayley graph has a Hamilton cycle. So, in cubic case, this means that every cubic Cayley graph has a Hamilton cycle, and then if we have a Hamilton cycle in a cubic graph, this cycle is of even length, so we can color the edges lying on the cycle with two colors, and then we use the third color for the edges not lying on the cycle, and we have a good three-edge coloring of the graph. This Hamiltonicity problem is really hard, and also the snark problem is hard, but it's somehow easier, because when we are trying to prove that the graph has a Hamilton cycle, we need to prove that there is a two-factor, a connected two-factor in the graph. But when we are trying to prove that the graph is a snark, we only need to find a two-factor consisting of even cycles. So it's a little bit weaker condition. Okay, here we have an example, the Coxeter graph. It's well known that this is not a snark, and that this is one of four known examples of vertex transitive graphs not containing a Hamilton cycle. And this, why this graph is not a snark? Because we have a picture of a Coxeter graph in a little bit different way. It's a distant structure picture, and here the blue edges and the green edges give us two disjoint 14 cycles. So we can color the edges on these two 14 cycles by two colors, and then the complement of these two 14 cycles is a one factor in the graph, and we can use the third color to color the one factor, and we have a good three-edge color living of the Coxeter graph. So quite easy to prove that it's not a snark. But this graph is not Hamiltonian, meaning that it does not have a Hamilton cycle. It's a little bit harder, but still not so hard. So actually, I really like the proof of Bix, published in the paper Three Remarkable Graphs, where he considered the Petersen graph, the Coxeter graph, and the H graph. And the proof there is as follows. He looks the action of the automorphism group on the one factors in the Coxeter graph, and he shows that the action on the set of all one factors is transitive. And here we have one particular one factor, the complement of which is a union of two 14 cycles, and so the complement of any one factor will be a union of two 14 cycles. So this graph is not Hamiltonian. Going back to Cayley graphs, cubic Cayley graphs. Since we have a cubic Cayley graph, the set S here must be of size 3, and it must be inverse closed, so it must if an element is in this set S, then also the inverse. of this element must be S, and so we have two possibilities. Either the set S consists of three involutions, but in this case we clearly have no snarks because the three involutions gives us the three color classes, and so simply color the edges corresponding to each involution with different color, and we get a good three-edge coloring. Then the second possibility is that the set S consists of an involution, non-involution, and the inverse of this non-involution. And if this non-involution is of even order, then the X and minus X edges gives us an even cycle, which form a two-factor, and so we can color these even cycles with two colors, and then the complement of this, so the A edges are the third color, and so there are no snarks in here. And the third option is if this non-involution in the generating set is of odd order, then still X edges gives us a two-factor, but this two-factor consists of odd cycles, and so we cannot simply apply the argument as before. And so this case is still open, and today we will give an argument why for the special case when the product of the involution and the non-involution is of order 3. We will show that there is no snark in this case. So if we just go back a little bit to Hamiltonicity problem, to see the difference between the snark problem and the Hamiltonicity problem. For example, here in type 1 cubic Cayley graphs, the Hamiltonicity problem is still open. It's only the existence of a Hamilton cycle is only known to exist when the two of the three involutions commute, and otherwise, in general, it's an open problem. Also, here in type 2 and in type 3, the Hamiltonicity problem is open. There are some known results, but we are really far away from the complete solution. So now, before showing the proof of this fact written here, we'll go to the second part of the talk where we will consider independent sets in particular cubic graphs. So here these particular cubic graphs are cyclically four-edge connected graphs. So we say that a cubic graph is cyclically four-edge connected if we need to delete at least four edges in order to get a disconnected graph, and each of the obtained, at least two of the obtained components contain a cycle. Okay. And here we have a few examples of such graphs, cyclically four-edge connected cubic graphs. The blue vertices in each of these examples is form an independent set, and the red vertices with the red edges is the induced graph on the complement. For example, here in K33, the complement of two independent vertices induces a tree. Here in the cube, the complement of these three independent vertices induces a forest with two components, one tree and this vertex in here. And in the Peterson graph, the complement of three independent vertices is a tree. And I have here a few more examples, the Heawood graph, the Mebius-Cantor graph, and we can see that here in the Heawood graph, again, the complement of the independent set of vertices is a tree, a single tree, but in the Mebius-Cantor graph, the complement of an independent set of vertices is a forest with two components. And actually, this is true in general. Okay, here I have two more examples. So whenever the graph is of order 2 modulo 4, we can find such an independent set of vertices that the complement is a 3. But when the graph is of order 0 model of 4, then we can find the independent set of vertices such that the complement is a forest with 2 components. And this follows from a really nice result of Pei and Sakharovich from 1975. They considered cyclically stable subsets. This means maximal induced forests in cubic cyclically 4 edge connected graphs. And they proved that whenever we have a cyclically 4 edge connected cubic graph of order 2 model of 4, then the maximal induced forest is actually a 3, and the complement is an independent set of vertices. And if the graph is of order 0 model of 4, then we have 2 options. Either the induced forest, the maximal induced forest, is a 3, but the complement of this forest is not an independent set of vertices, but we have 1 edge. Or the other option is that the maximal induced forest consists of 2 trees, and the complement is an independent set of vertices. So we have 2 options in here. In all the examples before, we had, when the graph was of order 0 model of 4, we actually had this second option written. But in general, there is one or another. But we will show later why we can actually show that the second option is true. And now going back to non-existence of snarks amongst 2S3 Cayley graphs. So a 2S3 Cayley graph is a Cayley graph with respect to the generating set consisting of an involution, an element of order S, and the product of an involution and non-involution is of order 3. So in general, we have that. So any cubic Cayley graph which is not it's not a Cayley graph on a group with respect to a generating set consisting of 3 involutions is a 2st Cayley graph. So 2 standing for involution, s is here for the order of a non-involution in the generating set, and t is the product of involution and non-involution. So, and we are considering a special case when this t is equal to 3. And that there are no snarks amongst 2S3 Cayley graphs, it actually follows from our work on Hamilton cycles in this particular class of Cayley graphs. This is our joint work with Henry Glover, Alexander Malnich, and Dragan Marušić. The theorem written here, it's actually a corollary of 3 papers, one published in Journal of European Mathematical Society in 2007, the other one published in Journal of Algebraic Combinatorics in 2009, and the third paper is accepted for publication in the Proceedings of London Mathematical Society. So in total, these 3 papers are more than 70 pages long. So, and the outcome of these papers is the following. So if we have a 2S3 Cayley graph, so connected, we always consider just connected graphs, then this Cayley graph has a Hamilton cycle if the group G, and a graph itself, for sure, is congruent to 2 model of 4. So the order of the graph is congruent to 2 model of 4. Then the existence of a Hamilton cycle is also shown when the graph is of order 0 model of 4 and the non-involution in the generating set is either of odd order, so S is odd, or S is congruent to 0 model of 4. And there is third possible case that we have graphs of order 0 modulo 4 and the non-involution in the generating set is of order congruent to 2 modulo 4. So actually this is an open case. We didn't show the existence of a Hamilton cycle in this case yet. There is no one that there is a Hamilton path, but for cycle it's open. But as we said before, when a non-involution is of even order, we know that there is no snags in there. So this, the first two items, we have a Hamilton cycle, so you have an even two-factor, a connected even two-factor. We can color the edges on a Hamilton cycle with two colors, and the third color is used for the complement of this Hamilton cycle. And then in the third item, because the order is of a non-involution is even, we again have a two-factor consisting of even cycles, and again it's no problem to show that there is no Hamilton, these graphs are not snags. So we obtain this corollary, but actually this corollary can be proved without the use of this result, because it's a nice result, but it's really, the proof is long and technical, and what is interesting is that we can prove it without this. Okay, so now let's do the proof of each of these theorems. So we will not go into the details of this theorem, but just to see how it goes. So in both theorems, the proof starts the same. We take a 2 as 3-Cayley graph, and we embed this graph on a closed orientable surface, so we get a Cayley map of a particular genus, which is written here, and the faces are S-gons and hexagons. So the hexagons arise from the relation involution times non-involution is of order 3, and the S-gons comes from the order of a non-involution. Okay, and then here we have an example, the soccer ball, so the 2-5-3 Cayley graph on the alternating group A5. Here the faces are 5-gons and hexagons. So. And then the proof goes further as follows. We associate to a 2S3 Cayley graph the so-called hexagon graph. This is a graph whose vertices are hexagons in the Cayley graph, and we connect two vertices if the corresponding hexagons are adjacent in the Cayley map. So, for example, here, this is a 2-4-3 Cayley graph on S4, and we have eight hexagons, and the corresponding graph of hexagons is the cube. Okay, and here is another example. This is a 2-8-3 Cayley graph of this group here, and it's a genus 2 Cayley map, and the corresponding graph of hexagons is the Möbius contour graph, which is given here. And then we have here an example of a 2S3 Cayley graph which is of order 2 modulo 4. And I will explain how the existence of a Hamilton cycle is proved in general on this example. So this is actually the Pappus graph. And we can embed the Pappus graph onto a torus. And here all the faces are hexagons, but these hexagons are two different types. So one hexagon arises from the relation x to the 6 is identity, and the other hexagons arise from this relation here. And the graph of hexagons, for the graph of hexagons, we only take the hexagons which arise from this relation, and we obtain this graph in here. Then in this graph, we search for an induced tree whose complement is an independent set of vertices. And if we look this induced tree in the original Cayley map, and we color the hexagons corresponding to the vertices lying on this induced tree, we get a tree of faces. And the boundary of this tree of faces is a Hamilton cycle in the Cayley graph. Okay, and this works whenever the graph is of order 2 modulo 4. But when we have a graph of order 0 modulo 4, as the graph here, we cannot find an induced tree whose complement does not have edges, so whose complement is an independent set of vertices. However, we can find the tree, induced tree, whose complement has a single edge. And then if we look this induced tree in the original Cayley graph, we get a tree of faces whose boundary misses two vertices. And so this method does not give us a Hamilton cycle, but we can do some modifications so that we include also S-gonal faces into the tree of faces, and we can get such a tree of faces that the boundary is actually a Hamilton cycle. But to prove that we can always do something like here in general, this was one of the papers published in Yatso when S is congruent to 0 modulo 4. But for snarks, we can do it without problems, because in the cube we can find an induced forest whose complement is an independent set of vertices. And now if we look this induced forest in the original Cayley graph, we get a forest of faces, and the boundaries of these faces are all even cycles. And so we can color the edges lying on the boundary with two colors, and the other the remaining edges with the third color, and so there are no snarks. Okay. So now just the problem is okay. Now why this is true in general? This is true in general because the graph of hexagons is actually an cubic arc transitive graph on which the Cayley group acts one regularly, meaning that it acts arc transitively, so it acts regularly on the set of arcs. And there is a really nice result of Roman Nedela and Martin Scoviera that cyclic edge connectivity, so they actually prove a much more general result, but for arc transitive graphs, they proved that the cyclic edge connectivity equals the girth of the graph. Okay, and now we also know that there are just a few graphs, cubic arc transitive graphs, that are of small girth. These are the graphs given in here. So actually, just K4. I forgot to say here, K4 is an exception, but we can do this separately. So just K4, K33, and the cube, these are the only three graphs which are of girth 4. And if we have a cyclically 4-edge connected graph, which is of girth more than 4, we can obtain this corollary of a Payen-Sakharovich result, which says that in this second option, when we have a graph of order 0 modulo 4, we can always show that the second of the two options occurs, so that we can found an independent set, and in the complement we have two trees. And actually, these are trees in the graph of hexagons. And when we lift this to a Cayley map, so to three of faces in the Cayley map, we always get even cycles, because hexagons versus sister hexagons. And so this is a simple proof that there are no snarks amongst 2S3 calligraphs. And here I have again a soccer ball, so another example. So this is the soccer ball, and if we make a graph of hexagons in the soccer ball, we get the dodecahedron, and then so just coloring the hexagons and then making a graph whose face vertices are hexagons in the soccer ball, we obtain the dodecahedron. And then in the dodecahedron, by this Pence-Karavich result, we can found an independent set of vertices whose complement is a forest with two components, and we look this forest in the original calligraph, and so we have a forest of faces, and the boundary gives us a two-factor consisting of two even cycles. And it's done. And for the Hamiltonian, to show that the soccer ball has a Hamilton cycle, using this our methods, we cannot do it in a really short way. We need to modify the graph of hexagons in such a way that we include also some S-gons in there, and then when we do the modification, we lose the symmetry of this graph of hexagons, and so the proof becomes really technical in general. So, this was the third paper, when S is odd. It's an example of that. Okay, and then the fourth part, how to generalize these results to 2ST calligraphs. For t bigger than 3. Yes.
This second component is always a singleton, or it can be non-trivial?
It can be non-trivial. Yeah. We don't know, actually. We believe that it's always a single, the second component is always a single point. But yeah, we can find it.
Yeah.
Yes. But in if we look at the proof, why we can always do the 2, 3.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. So 2ST calligraphs for t bigger than 3. Here we can also embed this graph onto a closed orientable surface, and we get a Cayley map with S-gonal faces and 2 T-gonal faces. So instead of hexagons, we have 2 T-gons in here. And we can again make this quotient graph. Instead of hexagon graph, we make a graph whose vertices are 2 T-gons, and we connect 2 T-gons if the corresponding 2 T-gons are adjacent in the Cayley map. So there were 2 2s in and okay. And so this it can be easily shown that this graph of 2 T-gons is a T-valent arc transitive graph. On which the Cayley group acts regularly on the set of arcs, and the vertex stabilizer of the Cayley group acting on the this T-valent 2T graph with cyclic vertex stabilizer. And so in order to show that the 2ST Cayley graph contains a Hamilton cycle, just generalizing the method from 2S3 Cayley graphs, we would need to show that there exists an independent set of vertices whose complement is an induced tree, okay, in this arc-transitive T-valent graph. But to show that this 2ST Cayley graph is not a snark, it suffices to show that there is an independent set of vertices whose complement induces a bipartite graph. So we don't need to show that the complement is a forest. It's enough to show that the complement is bipartite. And in the literature, such graphs are called near bipartite. So there exists an independent set of vertices whose complement induces a bipartite graph. And we did some work in the next case when t is equal to 4, so 2ST Cayley snarks. And so at first we said, okay, now we need to look arc transitive graphs, four valent arc transitive graphs, so we need to look the list of Stiff-Wilson and Primož-Potočnik, what we can say about these graphs. Are they near bipartite or not? And we found three graphs which are not near bipartite. So that's trivial example, K5, and then the octahedron, and this normal Cayley graph, which is a circulant, as it is written here. And the question is, are there other such graphs? Okay, so we don't know, but so we didn't check the list really far away, but maybe up to 100 vertices. These were the only examples that we found. Okay. And since K5 and the circulant on 13 vertices are particular graphs of infinite family of arc-transitive circulants of prime order, we considered first tetravalent arc-transitive circulants of order P, where P is a prime of this particular forum, and we showed that in case that P is more than 13, these graphs are near bipartite. So meaning that if we have a 2S4 Cayley graph whose graph of, in this case we have octagons corresponding to hexagons, so the graph of octagons is such circulant, then we know that the Cayley graph is not a snark. And a problem which will really, the solution of which will help in this direction is the following. Classify tetravalent arc-transitive graphs with chromatic number 4, admitting a one regular subgroup with cyclic vertex stabilizer Z4. Why this will help? Because so, if we have a tetravalent graph, then by Brooks' theorem, we know that the vertices can be colored with four colors or less, and the exception is K5, where we need five colors. And when we consider a near bipartite four valent graph, we know that there is an independent set, so we need one color to color the vertices in this independent set, and then the complement of this independent set is bipartite, so you only need two colors. So these graphs given in this problem are the bad guys. So we would like to see that there are not many of them, or at least to know how they look like, and so a different method should be applied for graphs, for 2S4 Cayley graphs whose graph of octagons have chromatic number equal to 4. So, chromatic number, yeah. We started with the index, but this is number, yeah. Okay, so, for example, for K5 and the octahedron and this circulant, the chromatic number is 4. So, but we can solve this snark problem in a different way. So, So this is all about SNARKs, and now I have three announcements, if I can tell them. Usually Dragan is giving the announcements, but today I will do it. So. The first announcement is about Rogla. So we are organizing a PhD and postdoc summer school in discrete mathematics in June, in the coming year, from June 24 to June 30. And during this summer school, there will be one day dedicated to the third Banff conference. So you know that symmetries of graphs and networks, the first workshop was organized in Banff, then the second one was organized in 2010 in at Rogla, and now it's time to organize the third one, and it will be again in Rogla, but we decided to put the two events together, so you are all welcome to participate. And the second announcement is Computers in Scientific Discovery number 6. This is a conference that we are organizing with Tomasz Pisanski in Porto Roche in August, from August 21 to August 25. Here is the list of the current list of keynote speakers. Between them it's Brian Maher, which is sitting here, and some other mathematicians, as well as some chemists. And there is also a Nobelist, Harry Krota, in here, which actually got a Nobel Prize for the soccer ball that we saw today, but from the chemical point of view. So you're welcome to participate. The details are given on this web page. And the third announcement is actually just a reminder that there is a proceeding of the BLET conference. The deadline for submission is October 31. The proceedings will be published in Ars Mathematica Contemporanea. Primož and I are managing editors, so you are really welcome to submit some papers. Probably we will extend this a little bit, but we need to talk with the editors in chief, so maybe for a few days, but not really much. So. Thank you.